Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 10th, 2006. Happy birthday to my brother Robert. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard of FCC Futures. He's in Williamsville, Illinois. In between, we'll hear more from University of Illinois Extension's Daryl Good and the conversation I held with him yesterday morning just after the latest WASDE numbers were released by USDA. Oh, and Dave Dickey will be along again today to help us round out this final weekday pledge drive. Get ready to dial in your financial support for the Closing Market Report and all the ag programming right here on WILL AM 580. The number to call, of course, 217-244-9455.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this last trading day of the week, a Friday afternoon, March wheat settled at 4:30, down 3 3/4. That's actually the Kansas City Board of Trade March wheat. The March wheat in Chicago at 3:55 1/4, down 8 cents. May futures at 3:67 1/4, off 7 1/2. Corn pit now, March at 2:21 1/4, down 4 1/4. May futures at 2:31 3/4, down 4 1/2 cents. In July, corn at 2:40 1/2, down 4 1/4. December contract at 2:57 1/4, off 3 1/2 cents. Soy complex bean futures, we didn't have a complete set of numbers when we gave the settlement prices to you, the highs, the lows, and the settlements at about 5 minutes till the hour of 2 o'clock this afternoon, not too far in the distance. And so we've got those numbers now. We've got them turned around on you. The March contract now, a 5.85 1/2 high today in the bean pit, a low at 5.77. Their settlement price at 5.82 1/4, down 5 1/2 cents. May, 5.98 1/2, the high, the low at 90 1/2. Settlement price there down 5 3/4 at 96. And July soybeans, 6.08, the high, the low at $6.50. Settled 6.06 1/2, they were off 3 3/4. August soybeans, 6.10, the high, the low at 05 1/2. Settlement price at 6.07 1/2, off 6 1/2. And the Septembers were down 5 1/2 today. They settled at $6.11. Now the November contract, the high there, 6.21, low at 6.13. Settlement price at 6.18 3/4. They were down 6 1/4. And the January, by the way, down 6 cents today for 2007. They finished at $6.27 a bushel. Bean meal March contract at 180.50. Settlement price today at the board down 1.10. The bean oil at 38 lower, 22.27 the settlement price. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby March feeder cattle up 80 cents, 109.65. And the February live cattle at 92.90. We're up 65 cents today. Lean hogs, February contract from the Merc, $58.55 a hundredweight. They were up 92 1/2 cents.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Time to get your dialing finger out and get it ready to go. Just after we get done with Mike Zuzulo, we'll make a big push here for you to dial 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey in Pledge Central to tell us why that should be the case. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, Todd. You know, agricultural programming is disappearing from the radio dial because many stations are more concerned about their bottom line than serving the agricultural audience. Here at AM 580, we buck that trend. In fact, we've increased our agricultural offerings and services the past year, but having said that, well, we have to afford it. In order to continue building this agricultural service, we need the support of our agricultural listeners right now at 217-244-9455 with their pledge of support. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Todd, I walked in here this afternoon and I was stunned to see that every phone has a volunteer at it. They are expecting big things this afternoon from our agricultural audience. 217-244-9455, the number. In fact, we expect, you and I, big things from the agricultural audience this afternoon with no challenges to do because we finished them all this morning. You and I have opened our dusty old moldy wallets.
Well, you opened mine.
Well, I did. Mm. And we have agreed to give $10 for every listener who calls in during the Closing Market Report this afternoon in support of agricultural programming. So get into my wallet, get into Todd's wallet, $10 a pop, 217 844-9455, the number to call.
Hey, Dave, if we get enough calls, we can get this slow-cooking cookbook that they were talking about last hour together.
Giddy up. We'll go get it at the $75 level.
All right. So dial it up, 217-244-9455. We'll check in with Dave in just a bit. And you could get in our back pocket if you'd like. If you haven't made that phone call yet, do it now or get ready to do it. Once again, the number, 217-244-9455. On the line with us from West Lafayette, Indiana, the big Mike Zuzolo. Good afternoon to you, Mike, from Risk Management Associates. How are you doing today?
Hey there, Todd. How are you doing today?
Oh, we're doing really good. Hey, last week when we talked, you were discussing making 100% sales of corn at higher levels. What was it, 260 if we got to the lead option? Is that right?
Between 260 and 280, yeah.
And is that on lead or was that on the December contract?
No, that's on December.
That's on the December contract. So today we settled that at 257 and a quarter. And for the week, did we have a high above that? No, we did not. That was the high for the week, wasn't it?
Well, I think we got into the 261 area, but I can't remember if that was taken back later in the day or not.
So. Yeah, so we got to 259 and a quarter. Did you pull the trigger?
No, we're still sitting around 25 to 30% hedged at this point. You know, 260, 265, we'll work some more in. And then if we can get above 265 on a closing basis, we would suspect that there's something happening maybe in the wheat, maybe in some of the outside markets that are going to give us the chance to maybe extend those gains. And, you know, that 262 level is near the contract highs, and we really want to see that tested at least. And if we can get above that, then we should be able to get, you know, closer to 275 to 280 and wrap up everything with some ball puts.
And then are you looking further out even into the 2007 crop year too?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We're not in corn, but we are in wheat. You know, okay. We're running at about two-thirds sold in 06 wheat right now, and we did stretch our legs to well above $4 in July 07 Chicago wheat. So when we make the last sale trigger on the 06 wheat, we're going to go ahead and recommend the first hedge increment, probably around 20%, 15 to 20% on 07 wheat, because if you start out at $4 and that's your worst hedge price, I think we're going to have a good year next year.
You know, as we take a look at the changes on the weekly, we're down 11 to 12 cents on the beans. The corn was off just about what it was off today, between 2 and 4 cents. That's on the weekly change, though. Really change your mind on any of the weekly charts and technically this picture? Or are we still trending higher in at least the corn and the wheat and maybe sideways in the beans?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to encapsulate it. I was actually very impressed. I think all of us were in the office very impressed with how the beans especially held up today, because we did take out yesterday's lows in November and penetrated the 50-day moving average, penetrated the 200-day moving average as well. And there weren't really a lot of sellers below that area. It seemed like on the close, and as we got closer to the end of the day and after lunch, it seemed like a lot of the folks and the attitude in Chicago as well, let's just wait and see what happens next week. There's been a lot thrown out at us, and then we didn't even realize it, but about an hour or 45 minutes before the close, we got the USDA baseline numbers published this afternoon, and so we suspect that probably stopped a lot of the guys in their tracks from wanting to do one thing or another, because brand new numbers, you know, came across the news wires, and obviously there's still a lot of weather going on in Brazil that maybe we'll have more clarification on in the weekend.
Well, you just mentioned a term, and I have no idea what it means, baseline number, and I may be used to using it in some other form. What do you mean?
No, I understand why you're where you're at right now, because we have a baseline agricultural, you know, summit, so to speak, every year where the USDA puts out their new projections. They go out 10 years every year, and that isn't until next Thursday, next Friday, and it used to be that projection would not be put out until the conference started, and that was the most exciting day. I've only been to it once, but I'll never forget it. It's even more exciting than the Chicago Board of Trade, in my view anyway, because everybody runs for the hallway to tell, or they used to run to the hallway to call everybody back at the office, because the USDA had physically published books of what the new crop acres were going to be, new crop yield. They just go all the way down and up and down the gamut of the supply and demand for agriculture for the next 10 years. Now, they've changed that, and they've actually gotten to the point now this year they're releasing it a full week in advance of the meeting next week. And so we've got 10-year projections out there on just about everything in agriculture after this afternoon.
What did it show for corn? Did you read it that far?
Yeah, pretty similar to what they usually go with. You know, when we do our own analysis on acreage, Todd, we try and stick with the trend line and the baselines of the past 3 to 5 years, and that's really what they did. They went ahead and gave us 80.5 million acres on corn. I think it was around 73.5 on beans, and then they came in at, I believe, 59 even on wheat. So pretty normal trend line numbers, which is what you would expect. Now, some of the neat things that as you dig deeper into it is corn yield, for instance, you're looking at between now and I think they went out to 2015, you're looking at an average of 163 bushel yield. So you see a pretty big jump in corn yield estimates 3 or 4 years down the road where you're gaining 1.5 bushels a year on their trend line. So pretty interesting stuff that we'll digest, obviously, the next couple weeks.
On some of this kind of fundamental things, as you looked at yesterday, of course, the WASDE number coming out 555 million bushels, the largest on record for soybean carryout this year, 2.401 billion bushel. I think it was done 25 million, but we're still talking 2.4, which is what we've talked for a long time. And in the corn carryout, didn't really change anything.
Right.
On the fundamental side, is there anything besides those carryouts that you're looking at this point? Is the South American crop making a difference for you because it's in good shape? Is this the idea that the hard red winter wheat crop in Texas and part of the Great Plains states is under serious pressure a problem? And acreage shifts might come of that. What are you thinking about?
The report reinforced two things to us, and the trade, I think, is in the same mindset. The conventional wisdom right now is that you're going to continue to have a stronger market in a fundamentally weak market like soybeans as long as the wheat continues higher and as long as the index funds continue to buy corn. And some of that may be connected where if the wheat continues higher, they realize that in 95, 96, and even the commodity trading funds, the non-index funds, may realize that there's a pretty strict and strong correlation. If you get a 95-96 wheat market, you're likely to pull that corn up pretty nicely as well. So as long as you keep that running, then the beans can stay fairly firm and keep a risk premium in that many would think is just too much. So that was reinforced in the report because the world wheat numbers went down. That, like you said, the corn number went down domestically on stronger demand, and then the bean number went up on now the second month in a row of a weaker demand pace. So that's the first thing. The second thing we'd say is if you looked at the fundamentals in the report, we would think that the trade would say we don't need that many bean acres this year. We really need to keep the premium in the corn because we've got, literally 555 million bushel carryover in U.S. and we've got South America coming on. Even if you've got one province like Rio Grande do Sul clipped because of dry weather, you're still probably going to crank out at least a 55 million metric ton crop. And so, the report kind of reinforced some of these longer-term fundamentals.
What was the high in 90s? I think that high in the wheat came in 96, and I can't remember what it was, above $5 or whether it was $7.
It was 7, yeah. We went above 7 in wheat and 5 in corn, and I think that lasted for about an hour and a half.
Get ready to pull the trigger, man.
Yeah, that's right. Scale up, sell.
do you think, really, that the crop will be that short that you could think about moving beans wheat at least into that $5 range?
We don't right now, but the clients, we have the best anecdotal evidence is from our clients down there, and we've got clients from Amarillo, Texas, up to Goodland, Kansas, and into Nebraska where our branch office is, and pretty predominantly they're saying, look, if we don't get something between now and the end of February, our stand won't come out and our dormancy won't break because it'll just be dust. And a guy that we've known a long time in the Kansas City pits has said very plainly that, we're getting highs in the 60s right now. If we stay dry, we'll be having highs in the 80s in the month of May, which is just not normal. So you just really go downhill quickly with the type of rain pattern they usually see. If they don't get the rain now, it doesn't bode well for the future. So we're not saying it can't happen, but we're not forecasting it right now. We want to see what happens in the next 10 or 15 days as far as rain.
Have you asked them how quickly they'll tear it up and what would make them plant a different crop in terms of rainfall?
Yeah, great question. We have tried to line it up with the feeder market, the feeder cattle market. We suspect very strongly that if you're going to have a torn up wheat crop in these dry areas, you're going to first see placements really balloon in these cattle on feed reports, both in February and especially in March, because that's what our clients are telling us, is that we won't have the weather, we won't have the water or let alone the stand of pasture to go ahead and feed out. Feeders will have to put them in the lots.
Okay, and then if they tear it up, what crop do they go to if they do get the rain?
First choice would be probably Milo. That's coming from our guy in Amarillo, Texas, or near Amarillo. He's saying probably Milo first, and then sunflowers. Our fellow in Kansas would say he'd go to an oil seed. But a lot of that goes back to whether their crop insurance will let them, and they're physically and literally checking out their crop insurance policies right now to get prepared for what to do next.
Okay, we'll let you go.
Okay, thanks. Good luck with the fund drive. You guys deserve every bit of money you get.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Mike Zuzalo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He joins us from his Lafayette office in Indiana.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Okay, you've listened. Time now to pick up the phone. 217-244-9455. I'll tell it to you one more time. 217-244-9455. Do that while I'm reading the weather forecast from our own Mike Sola for this evening. He says mostly cloudy skies, some scattered flurries, a few snow showers across the two-state region, heaviest in the south. Lows will range from 18 in northwestern Illinois to 30 in southeastern Indiana. Tomorrow, he says, in southeastern Indiana, cloudy skies, snow heavy at times, elsewhere mostly cloudy, scattered flurries, and locally heavier lake effect snow in northern Indiana. Highs tomorrow will range from 26 in far northwestern Illinois to 35 in southeastern Indiana. I don't see that you're dialing the numbers yet. Let's do it. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. This doesn't take really very long. Just dial in at that number and we'll take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Of course, if you'd like, you can just pledge your financial support. Send us a check as well. Dave Dickey in Pledge Central. Dave, they're going to get in our back pocket a little bit this afternoon, courtesy of intentions for the day, to put $10 extra on top of each and every pledge that comes in this half hour.
I have a $100 bill sitting here on the table, and thus far, no one really has been taking advantage of it. We did get one phone call in support of agricultural programming, so there's $5 gone from your pocket and mine. $90, $95 still sitting here on the table. 217-244-9455. Now is the time to call in support of agricultural programming at this radio station. It is indeed last chance, Texaco, for the winter fund drive to say that you indeed support this program, the Closing Market Report. We've tried to do what we can to be responsive to your needs, to give you the information that you tell us you want. Now is the time for you to go to the phone at 217-244-9455. We take American Express, MasterCard, Discover, and Visa as well. So it's very simple. All of our volunteers are sitting here drinking coffee and talking to one another, and a few of them have even moved away from their phones. Let's bring them back to the phones. Get those phones ringing. 217-244-9455. The agricultural service can only be as good as you are willing to make it, because we are indeed in partnership together, Todd, a level that we like to suggest that our agricultural listeners pledge at is that $100 level, and that represents, oh, I don't know, about 40, 50 bushels of corn at $2, or maybe a third of an acre of soybeans. Of course, that would be the gross and not the net. Someone earlier this week was pointing that out to me. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
Thanks much, Dave. We'll check in with Dave Dickey here in just a bit. Once again, 217-244-9455, the number to call. Well, up next, as a general rule of thumb, University of Illinois Extension ag economist Darrell Good believes farmers should make new crop grain sales in the months preceding harvest. As you'll hear, he's amended that just a bit for this season. Statistical work tells the Ag Economist at the University of Illinois there are about 15 months in which a farmer has the best opportunity to sell a corn or a bean crop. Oftentimes, the best sales opportunities come just as the planting season kicks off through about mid-July. Today, there are many advisory services gearing producers up to sell all of this year's crop very soon, and even part of crops 2 and 3 years out. U of I Extension's Darrell Good is a bit more cautious.
Well, I think that we have to be pretty cautious here, recognizing that that we do have this huge speculative demand out here that can give us even stronger prices if there is a strong indication that we're going to have some trouble this growing season. So I don't want to get too carried away. But on the other hand, And the way I calculate it, the market is already trading a pretty sharp decline in production next year. Next year's corn market is basically offering a 250 average cash price. That's a pretty small crop built into that price. Soybeans, $6 or better for a marketing year average. Again, with the 500 million plus carryover, that has a pretty small crop built into it. But things seem to be out of whack a little bit. February is a little early to be thinking about pricing in most years. Is the market giving us an early opportunity, or is the market just beginning and we'll see better opportunities even into the planning period? Right now, I think you have to kind of let the speculators have their head and anticipate that we could get a pretty good run-up even from these price levels on any continued dryness into planting time. So, yes, I think you have to reward the market, but maybe not get too carried away in terms of amount at this point.
That was University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good on pricing new crop corn and soybeans in the face of large speculative demand. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Bruce Bostert is on the line with us to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll talk to him in just a moment. I do want to check in with Dave Dickey back in Pledge Central, because it looks to me like, Dave, we might be out some money unless FM happens to be pledging at this same time. What's the word?
Well, FM indeed is pledging at this time, but as I look down at some of these sheets, I do see some of them are indeed for AM. 1, 2, 3, 4. It looks like at least 4 are that are being taken right now. And here comes another one, and it might be for AM 2217-244-9455. The phone line's coming fast and furious to get into your pocket and my pocket for $10 a call. No upward limit. As long as we're talking for the closing market report, this offer is good. So, boy, oh boy, you and me could be out a couple of bucks, but I will gladly put it down in support of agricultural programming at this radio station, 217-244-9455, the number to call.
Yeah, you're going to have to call my wife, you know that.
Yes, I do.
217-244-9455 is the number to call. Keep those phones ringing in support of the closing market report, all the ag programming that Dave Dickey and I do right here on this radio station. Dave, we'll check in with you in just a moment. Now Bruce Bostert on the phone with us to take a look at that cash grain market. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there.
Tell me about the cash grain in your area of Sangamon County.
Well, interesting day. As we see the up days on the market, we see scale-up sellers. Movement is just real quiet on the down days, on the steady days. As we set a new contract high and get a new price level on cash grain, then we'll see some corn cut loose. Primarily old crop here, little bit of new crop selling, but not a lot. I'm hearing some guys over in eastern Illinois, sounds like they're picking up a little more new crop than I am.
What's the word out of the processors in Decatur and how much need they have for soybeans and corn?
I guess my feeling is that on soybeans, they're okay nearby, not nearly as flush on beans as on corn. Corn, it seems like they are seeing pretty good continuing movement on the corn side. Basis levels are basically steady at the processor, both corn and soybeans, but they are still head and shoulders above like the Illinois River processors or the Illinois River delivery bids.
And your bids for the day?
We're at 198 on corn nearby and 547 on soybeans.
Bruce, as always, a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert of FCC Futures out of the Williamsville Farmers Co-op in Williamsville, Illinois. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather in just a couple minutes. Steve Hilberg will join us at that point. Your local newscast comes up next. Oh, hey, don't forget, dial 217-244-9455.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The director of the Decatur Airport says the state of Illinois needs to get behind downstate airports that are slowly losing their passenger carriers. Gene Marcinkowski, along with airport heads from Marion and Quincy, met with state officials yesterday to promote a $3.3 million plan to subsidize service between downstate and Chicago's Midway Airport. The meeting was arranged before Transstate Airlines announced it would cut service to five markets, including Decatur and Springfield. The editor of the Daily Illini says he hopes his decision to print cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad will spark a dialogue, not an uproar. The cartoons that first appeared in a Danish newspaper ran in the Daily Illini yesterday. Today, the DI is running reactions in its editorial section, both for and against the cartoons. Editor Acton Gorton says he's received no threats for running the cartoons. He says that says a lot about Americans who may argue about issues but don't resort to violence. If there's ever an outbreak of bird flu in humans, Indiana wants to be prepared. Governor Mitch Daniels has announced that the state has developed an emergency plan that includes quarantines and canceling public events. Experts say the virus does not easily infect people, but there's a fear that it could mutate. A candidate for Illinois treasurer says a plan by business groups to borrow money for building roads and other projects will mean daily projects will lose out. Republican treasurer's candidate Christine Redonio says the plan would rely on Governor Blagojevich's capital program to fund the work, and that would mean cutting dollars used for repaving and other day-to-day maintenance. The Transportation for Illinois coalition that made the proposal consists of state and local chambers of commerce and a number of employee unions. Redonio, a state senator from Lamont, visited Champaign today. Former press baron Conrad Black calls the racketeering case against him a complete fraud. The former head of the Hollinger media empire was in court for a hearing today, and he says he's eager to get on with his trial, which is scheduled to begin in March of next year. Hollinger publishes the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Hey, I see the lights have been lit up on those phones pretty continuously for about the last 5 to 7 minutes, I suspect. That means you've been dialing in. That's a great thing to do. 217-244-9455 with your financial pledge of support to the ag programming here at WILL. We'll check in with Dave Dickey in just a moment to see how far in the hole he and I happen to be. Right now on the line with us, Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, joins us to talk about the local and regional weather forecast. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And it looks like we're going to get, are we going to get a lot of snow here pretty shortly, or a little bit at least?
Well, yeah, we'll see some flurries, I'm sure. In fact, about a half hour ago, I saw about six snow flurries. Snowflakes walking between buildings over here in Champaign, and radar's got a lot of what looks like activity on it. A lot of that's not reaching the ground, but we'll see some light snow and flurries tonight, today, tonight, and probably more likely tomorrow, where we actually might see something cover the ground a little bit. But as a rather strong storm moves to our south through the Gulf Coast states, but that looks like about it for the immediate future. It'll just be some light snow across Illinois and Indiana through maybe tomorrow, and then it should dry out for the first part of next week, along with some much colder than weather, at least colder than we've been used to recently.
Lake effect snow flurries heavier?
There could be some lake effect, especially along northwestern Indiana, Chicago area, as this storm winds up over the southeast. So, yeah, that will be an area to keep an eye out if you have to be traveling up in that region.
Now, total rainfall in January, parts of early February, help out very much in the northern part of the state?
Yes. As a matter of fact, January was very good for the entire Illinois-Indiana region, and particularly northwestern Illinois. Almost the entire state received above-normal precipitation during January. Now, again, January is one of our driest months, but the good part is a lot of that doesn't go anywhere. It goes into the soil. The soils have been not frozen because of the extended period of mild weather we've had. So all that moisture does go into the soil and isn't going to get used until things start growing again. So that was a big help. Early February, we've been sort of dry here so far, and with this cold weather pattern, we're not expecting a lot of precip. But the maps are encouraging, at least, that we'll have some opportunities for some precipitation, either rain or snow, over the next week to 10 days.
I know you work for the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, but have you been watching things as they progress in the southwest and how that drought has opened up areas there?
Yeah, it's persisting, and there's not much sign of it breaking down. looks like it's going to stay rather dry there for the foreseeable future. The weather systems that are coming through are deflected well north into the Pacific Northwest and in southwestern Canada. So they're not getting their normal monsoon or wintertime precipitation down there, and it doesn't look like there's going to be much hope for it over the next week to 10 days.
Steve, thanks much. We appreciate it.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey here in Champaign. We'll check in one last time with Dave Dickey. Look like the phones have settled down, and if you haven't called recently, or in the last 5 to 10 minutes, now would be a great time to dial Dave, 217-244-9455, to pledge your financial support of ag programming right here on WILL AM 580.
It is Last Chance Texaco for the Closing Market Report in the Winter Fund Drive, 217-244-9455, the number to call. We haven't had this yet this week, and that is a complete five-call agricultural phone wave. I'd like to see one right now. We've already given up $80, Todd and I, between the two of us, in support of agricultural programming as a challenge this afternoon. We've received 8 calls. Let's go over the top. Let's get in the double digits. Let's get 10 calls, 217-244-9455. I want to thank a few people. Richard McCord, he's out in Wayne City. Thank you for his contribution this afternoon. Ronald Schroeder, he's in St. Anne. And then we had Mark Shedd, who is in Rockton, and Robert Weber, who is in Anchor, Illinois. They all got into your pocket and my pocket, Todd, for $10 a pop. Let's continue that. As long as the Closing Market Report music is playing, we'll continue to take phone calls, 217-244-9455. Even at that $40 level, 217-244-9455, we take American Express, MasterCard, Visa, and Discover Card. Call now in support of agricultural programming. Last Chance Texaco.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, your director of agricultural programming here. Since he got me into this, I'm going to get him into about another 20 minutes. If you call in and support up until 3 o'clock this afternoon, we'll put an extra $10 on top of whatever your pledge is. That's at 217-244-9455. That is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 Central Time for Commodity Week. It is our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.